Hello, and welcome to Knitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 80, Silk. Since this is a mod 5 equals 0 episode, I'm going to be talking about a fiber. And I chose silk because I felt that it was a nice bridge between the plant fibers that we had been discussing to the animal fibers, which we will be discussing in the future. Silk is considered an animal fiber since it's an animal byproduct, but it's not like other animal fibers in that it's not gotten from the hair of any creature. Instead, it has its own unique place being derived from the cocoons of the silkworm. But today, we're not going to be talking about how silk is made or where silk comes from. Instead, today I'm going to concentrate on the history of silk. Cast your mind back many years ago, and a young lady was sitting in a garden in the courtyard of her house, and she was relaxing in the afternoon with a cup of tea. When lo and behold, from the tree above her drops a cocoon into her tea. She's somewhat annoyed, and she reaches in to remove it. But in doing so, she notices that the cocoon is beginning to unravel. And she pulls the filaments out on her hand. And being an expert spinner, as I'm sure she was, she recognized the utility at once. Excited, she calls her servants to her, and they climb into the mulberry tree, and they start collecting the cocoons. She experiments for a while and finds the perfect way to reel off the silk for her time, which was 3000 BC. She was a Chinese princess by the name Zai Ling Shi, and she was married to the Yellow Emperor. From there, until almost 3,000 years later, China held the monopoly on silk. And silk quickly became an industry unto itself. There is evidence of trade as far back as 1000 BC with Egypt, because archaeologists have discovered a mummy that was wrapped in silk cloth that dates back to 1070 BC. There is clear evidence that in 300 BC, silk was being exported throughout Egypt and beginning to make its way into the Roman Empire. The first break of China's monopoly on the silk industry occurred in 200 BC, when there was mass immigration from China into Korea, and the immigrants carried the knowledge with them. The Byzantine Emperor Justinian was somewhat annoyed at the fact that he was seeing his goods flow out so numerously to China in return for silk. He felt that there was a trade imbalance, and he didn't like it at all. So in the first case of industrial espionage, he sent two monks into China, and they returned with silkworm eggs secreted away in their bamboo canes. They carefully guarded the eggs, caring for them, until they hatched, and then they cared for the worms, and soon the Byzantine Empire had its own silk industry. But it wasn't the high-quality silk that was coming from China. So there still was great call for Chinese silk. The Persians, in fact, used to take the silk cloth that they would import, and they would unravel it and weave their own designs using the thread. So silk was very highly called for. But slowly the information leaked out, and soon it was throughout the Asian continent. In the 7th century, when the Arabs conquered Persia, they gained the knowledge of silk and spread it throughout Africa, Sicily, and Spain. When Marco Polo made his journey to China, one of the things that he brought back with him into the West was silk. And that opened up a trade exchange between China and Europe. In France, in the mid-14th century, Lyon became the main hub for silk imports. They were given a monopoly by the King of France. Due to religious persecution in 1685, the French Huguenots, which were Protestants, fled France and with them took the valuable information on how silk was created to Germany, England, Italy, and Switzerland. When the mechanicalization of weaving and spinning took place in the 1700s, there was even a greater demand for silk. With the opening of the Suez Canal, soon Japan had the main foothold on the silk industry, and China was no longer the biggest producer of silk. However, in the mid-1800s, there was an epidemic that killed almost all the silkworms. Louis Pasteur investigated the illness, and he came up with a cure for the disease. But then rayon had come onto the scene, and soon there was much pressure on the silk industry. With World War II and the fact that silk from Japan was being embargoed, suddenly nylon gained a foothold. Nylon began to be used for making ladies' stockings and for making parachutes. Nylon was seen as a much more economical and useful way of producing a fiber. Suddenly, silk was no longer as much as in demand, and things were very hard on the silk industry. But with reorganization and industrialization, China improved on both the quality of its silk, and soon China became the primary exporter and producer of silk, which is where it is today. Now I have a question for you. I'm going to continue with the discussion of silk in an upcoming episode. I can't quite decide if I should hold off and do it in episode 85, since it is a fiber subject, or if I should go ahead and continue in the next episode. So please tell me what you think. Come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com, and leave me a comment and let me know. Or if you would rather, send me an email at Carrie, and that's C-A-R-R-Y, autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I got no response concerning the voicemail number, so I will not be getting a new voicemail number. I want to thank you for coming by and letting me tell you a story. I do hope that you enjoyed this story, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Take care. Bye.